High School Slumber Party is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Special second birthday edition of High School Slumber Party, the podcast where me and some friends look back at our teenage years through the lens of some iconic high school-centric films. I'm Brian Rodriguez, and the party's at my place this evening. But first, school is still in session, and we have some homework to chat about.
This was your assignment, and I would like to see the results.
First, want to give a special shout-out to all our healthcare heroes out there. Thanks for doing the job that you're doing. And I want to give a special shout-out to myself and you slumberers out there and everyone who's made High School Slumber Party such, I don't know, such an important part of, well, my life, but maybe your lives as well. Who knows? I really, really appreciate it. This is our second birthday, 2 years since we launched the podcast, and oh my god, I'm so happy, I'm so excited. Thank you, everyone who made this day possible. Thank you, everyone at cageclub.me, Joey Lewandowski, Mike Manzi, all my friends that I've made there. This is such a special day for me, such an honor to make it 2 years. Sometimes I never even thought I would make it 2 years, but we got a lot of high school movies to cover, and I can't wait. And of course, we're doing 16 Candles today. I made a pledge that on every birthday we have that we would talk about 16 Candles. Not because it's the best movie, but it is an iconic high school movie. And why not, right? It's a birthday movie. It's our birthday. Woo! I can't wait. And our guest this week, all the way from Australia, a slumberer herself, Shawnee Mead. We have an awesome conversation, a fun conversation. And if you want to get like more into like the nitty-gritty of 16 Candles, you can listen to our last year's episode with Jenny O'Connell and our follow-up episode. I swear we talked for like 4 hours last year. It's broken up, don't worry. But we have a more succinct discussion this year for you. It's so much fun. I can't say that enough. But homework. I'm not going to forget about your homework just because I'm hopped up on cake and ice cream. Nuh-uh. We have some homework to discuss. Did you listen to the last episode we did? Last Friday's episode on Dead Poets Society with John Harden. I love talking with John Harden. It was an awesome episode. I actually checked out his chess lecture over the weekend. That's fun. You definitely want to check out his chess lectures, even if you're not a chess pro. You will be if you watch them, listen to them, however you want to process them, absorb them. That was super fun. So did you do your homework for this week? Did you listen to the 16 Candles episode? I sure hope you did. What else? What other homework? Let's check my list. Oh, yeah, of course. Wherever you're listening to us right now, I want you to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, whether that be on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or Stitcher. Please, 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 it helps us out so much. If you want to give me a birthday gift as the host of High School Slumber Party, it's by hitting the subscribe button. Or how about giving us a 5-star rating wherever you can? How about writing us a review wherever you can? And maybe the biggest gift of all, the best gift of all, wrapped in a nice tight little bow, that would be telling a friend about all the great and wonderful things that happen on High School Slumber Party each and every week. Whoa, whoa, whoa! We might be being homeschooled temporarily, but remember, the bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you. I brought the bell home with me. I love saying that. I'm gonna miss saying that. But whatever, it's here for the short term, maybe the long haul, who knows? Let's not get dark today. Let's talk about our birthday. Let's talk about 16 candles.
You say it's your birthday. It's my birthday too. Don't do that, okay?
A film, of course, about a high school girl. She turns 16, and everyone has forgotten her birthday. And guys, I'm serious. If I get zero birthday wishes on social media, I'm going to be very upset. I don't want to have a Samantha situation here, okay? Remember, class participation is a huge part of your grade, and you can participate on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, really wherever. And, of course, you can email me at highschoolslumberparty@gmail.com. That's highschoolslumberparty@gmail.com. Birthday wishes are appreciated, though not expected. But again, they are appreciated. Oh, speaking of social media, I mentioned this last week, but on Thursday evening, my good friend Christian Larson and I, we are co-hosting a Zoom watch party. It's going to be high school films. We're going to let the watchers vote for what film they want to vote for. There'll be a ballot, of course. This is going to be democratic and fair, but there's, you know, probably like 4 or 5 choices. Definitely keep an eye on our social media for that because it's going to be fun. I've loved to pop in on these Zoom watches that my friends have been doing. So we said, why not? Let's do a high school movie one. Let's theme it up, if you will. So there'll be a Zoom chat name. There'll be a password. And all that will be coming soon on social media. I can't wait. Again, it's going to be loads of fun. So let's get this celebration started. Put on your favorite jammies, tell your mother you're going to have a birthday party with Brian, because we're about to get our party on. Yeah, that was a little clunky. I leave you with a song from the film, the song that actually ends the movie. Do you remember what it is? No? It is Thompson Twins, If You Were Here. Class dismissed. Today's my birthday, Shawnee. Well, not my birthday. Yeah, I should say High School Slumber Party's birthday. I keep doing that. I don't know why. You know, so happy to have you on for this film. As I pledged last year, every year we would do 16 candles on my birthday because it's
I did it again.
On your birthday.
I want it to be my birthday so badly. Maybe that's why. No, but...
It can be your other birthday. You can have two.
I feel like I put so much into the show that I feel like it's my birthday. But no, every year on high school slumber party's birthday, I've wanted to do 16 Candles because it is a historic teen film.
It is. And it's one of the only birthday-centered teen films.
Absolutely. And it's like one of the most birthday-centered films. Yeah. So... I think it's perfect. Well, no. To be clear, I don't think the film is perfect. I think it's the perfect one to do for a birthday episode.
Yeah.
And again, just a reminder, we covered this last year if you want to get into the nitty gritty. Just want to have fun today. We have to do our procedures, though. We have to follow the rules because that's what school is all about. So, Shawnee, please introduce yourself in the classic high school slumber party model.
All right. Well, hello again, everyone. I'm Shawnee. I graduated in 2007 from Oakbeck Area School. We won't go into the mascot thing again because didn't have one. So.
Nope. Okay. Again, thank you for coming and celebrating High School Slumber Party's birthday with me. We've completed our second calendar year, but right. We're still in our sophomore year of school.
Yes.
First question, what's your history with 16 Candles? I'm assuming this isn't the first time you saw it. So when was the first time you saw it? And what did you think of it? Originally,
I think I was about 14 when I first saw it. My mom gave it to me. Well, she ended up giving it to me as a birthday present then. I think she was thinking about saving it so I'd see it for the first time when I was 16, but she wanted me to watch it earlier. But yeah, for my 16th birthday party, we set up a projector at the back and all my friends came around and we watched 16 Candles, and none of them had seen it before. So,
I mean, that sounds really nice. It sounds fun. That's a very memorable time right there.
Yeah.
So I don't know when the first time I saw this movie, but I think it was also passed down by my mother. Like, you have to watch it. And it was around when I was 16. It wasn't on a birthday or anything, but it was certainly when I was in high school. Mm. And it's funny because, again, this is like a seminal teen classic as parents pass it down to their kids. Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe they should. I don't know.
Maybe they should pass down another John Hughes first, maybe.
maybe this film needs more of a disclaimer, like, oh, it's great, but there are certain things that you should be aware of.
So I sort of feel like this one, maybe seeing it when you're a bit younger is better, because then you don't notice all the really problematic things about it.
Just as long as you don't learn from it, I think you're okay. But there's a lot I enjoy about this movie. There's a lot that, is very problematic today.
Definitely.
Every year I plan on bringing a different guest on for my birthday episode. And I think that they'll all come to that consensus.
I hope so.
There's probably going to be different levels of love for different things.
Yeah.
I always say I could have a podcast with anyone about any movie. Mm-hmm. And if it's 9 different people, you're going to get 9 different shows.
Definitely.
It's rare that people... You know, that the people react to the same things all the time. And I think this is a movie that, there's a lot of familiar stuff. But even on this watch, I was like, oh, I didn't remember this. So it's interesting. But again, every week, in case you're somehow not familiar with 16 Candles, I do read the back of DVD or VHS. And I'm actually holding a VHS copy in my hand right now. Wow. So I will read directly from it. It's Samantha Baker's Sweet 16. And no one in her family remembers the important occasion. John Hughes, writer of National Lampoon's Vacation, shows how coming of age can be full of surprises in this warm-hearted teenage comedy starring Molly Ringwald. She's your average teen, enduring creepy freshmen, spoiled siblings, confused parents, and the big blonde on campus who stands between her and the boy of her dreams. But wait, the day isn't over yet. This sparkling film features a dynamic score and outstanding performances by Paul Dooley, Emmy winner Blanche Baker, and Oscar nominee Justin Henry.
Oh.
I don't even know who those people are. I know they're in the movie, but like, this is, I believe, an original release VHS that someone gifted me. It's still in the shrink wrap. So you notice they don't say like John Hughes of The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And they're not really highlighting Molly Ringwald too much. They're highlighting all these like adults who maybe other people knew. So yeah, that's fascinating. I like it. It's kind of classic there. Mm. So
I suppose because it was his first movie, because I think he wanted to make The Breakfast Club first. But
yeah, that's correct.
Whatever studio he made it with decided that this one was more commercial. So they wanted this one first. Oh.
Yeah, we're not going to dive into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
About everything. I've done it before, but I did want to make a note of that. So, like, you know, John Hughes, obviously director of this, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller, certainly has a huge place in the high school film genre of teen movies. He's on the Mount Rushmore. In today's lens, a lot of the stuff is problematic, but I'm not going to sit here and say it's not great stuff and it's not important. That would be foolish of me. It is really, really, really important. At the time, there was not a focus on teen movies, and John Hughes and later Amy Heckerling and so many other people, but John Hughes was one of the first to be like, hey, teens matter.
Yeah, teens
and their feelings matter. Exactly. So he's important. That being said, you know, we're going to, again, point out some things that don't age well, but I think we'll also be pointing out things that did age well and that are timeless. You're absolutely right. This was his first film, his first teen film. He wrote The Breakfast Club. He wanted to do The Breakfast Club. He saw it as even easier to do than this. But while he was, you know, looking for actors for The Breakfast Club, he came across a very unknown Molly Ringwald's headshot. He was so inspired by her headshot that he wrote this film, 16 Candles. You're right, when the studio saw it, they're like, oh, this one's really marketable. Let's do this one first. And he's like, if I'm going to do it, I want to get that person who inspired me with the headshot.
Yeah.
And it came down to her and, very ironically, Ally Sheedy. And, and remember, this is before The Breakfast Club. Yeah. And he ended up casting Molly Ringwald. And it makes sense again. He kind of wrote it with her in mind. But you never know, right? He just saw a headshot. He could have brought her in and she could have just been a terrible actor.
Yeah.
Thank God she wasn't.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess Ally Sheedy was like his backup. But at the end of the day, both of them are in The Breakfast Club. He certainly would give Ally Sheedy some other parts later.
Yeah.
Parts she well earned, because I loved Ally Sheedy.
Yeah, she's great.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's just like a really fun quirk of this film that it came down to the two of them. And that's kind of the, you know, the background of this movie. A lot of it is based on his writing for National Lampoon.
Yeah, and you can see in all the party stuff, it seems like it's imported out of some National Lampoon's type movie rather than the rest of the tone. Like, it's a weird tone, that bit. Like, it doesn't really go with all the Molly Ringwald stuff.
No, I mean, and I think he will move away from this a little bit later.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. There's a lot of National Lampoons in here, and including a character who we'll definitely talk about later.
Yes.
But, you know, we'll get into that. You know, normally I'll go over the cast, but I kind of just want to have a free-ranging conversation. So I'm going to ask for something you liked and then something you didn't like, and then something you liked and then something you didn't like, and so on.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds good.
First, something you liked about 16 Candles.
Well, I think I was like the opening credits scene, just the way they kind of establish all the teens in the school, that sort of thing.
Oh,
I mean, that bit is obviously still iconic. It's still influencing teen films today. I mean, the whole Lara Jean, Peter Kay thing, and she like thinks that putting a hand in a jeans pocket is like a, you know, romantic teen thing to do. So it's still, you know, that scene is still inspiring everyone. But it gives you like a whole range of like all the different types of teens, even just from their shoes. I think it really just sets the scene perfectly for just, you know, teens going to school, that sort of thing. But I always really liked that.
It's so influential too. Now look, a lot of movies open this way, but how many teen films have we seen open this way? Like, this is the high school. This is life in high school. This is the high school culture that you're going to be experiencing this film. I agree. I like this scene a lot. As you were talking, you know, the light bulb went off in my head. I decided that we should kind of reformat this a little.
Okay.
So any thing we like or dislike, we're going to call our candles, and we're going to find 16 candles to discuss today.
Okay.
On this 16 candle episode.
All right, we could do that.
So then in that case, our first candle was lit for the opening scene. Bravo. I'll light the second candle. And for the second candle, I'm going to pick something I liked, because let's start things off on a positive note.
Yeah, just get worse as it goes along.
I'm going to light a candle for Molly Ringwald, because Molly Ringwald is amazing.
Of course.
Still is, but such an iconic performance. In my opinion, as important as John Hughes is, Molly Ringwald is to this film as well. Mm. She makes the movie. Sam is such a relatable character.
Yeah. Yeah, she's so relatable. Like,
she, like, looks cool. Mm. Like, I love her hair. I love her hats, like, the way she's dressed, the way she talks. I mean, I know some of the things she might say is problematic, but I'll say this, like, she's not saying things that maybe, like, a suburban 80s teen wouldn't say. So it's not, like, completely out of left field. Everyone can relate to, maybe not their parents forgetting their 16th birthday, but everyone could relate to being a teen and feeling forgotten and feeling lonely and having a crush on a girl or guy and that being unrequited, or even, you know, just feeling like you're in this competition every day of your life and you just kind of want to do your thing, or even being harassed by people, you know, which happens in this film. These are real things that happen, and I think Molly Ringwald's performance as Samantha Baker is one of the all-time greatest high school performances.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think she's great in that. And I think also part of it is because she was the right age. I think she was about 15 at the time. So that's why she just seems, because she was actually just bringing her own normal teen stuff to it. So I think
And it's like awkward and it's real.
Yeah, all of that was happening inside her at the time anyway, so...
Yeah, that's true. And again, especially her being an unknown at this point, she feels like a real teen.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Shawnee, third candle.
Ooh.
Something you like, something you dislike, whatever.
I think I'm going to go with something that I like. It's like a tiny little scene, end of the scene, where the geek is obviously harassing Molly Ringwald on the bus, and then she finally gets off. But then it, like, pans over to little Joan Cusack sitting there with a little, like, neck brace. And she's just, like, you know, sitting on the bus. She's sort of trying to, like, engage with what's happening on the bus. But she's kind of like, okay. I just think her little scenes in the film, she just, whenever she's on the screen, she doesn't have any lines. But I feel like she just steals the movie every time she just pops up with her little, like, you know, weird things that she's doing. Or, like, her awful jumper with the skirt on it.
100%. I agree with you. Joan Cusack, though, such an understated performance, is amazing. Like you said, steals the screen.
Yeah.
So we'll light the third candle for Joan Cusack.
We will.
To expand on it, there's a lot of great background characters who don't have any lines, who, maybe are a little silly, maybe are a little National Lampoon-y, like, toned down. But some of them are really, really great, led by Joan Cusack.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's, like, the best character in the movie. She's definitely not problematic, so she's safe. She doesn't do anything wrong.
I mean, I suppose if you count her dental woes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not problematic. Maybe rude to make fun of, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
We've seen much worse. We see much worse in this film.
Yes, we do.
I'm glad you brought up the bus, and I'm glad you brought up the geek / Farmer Ted, as he's known at different times. Mm. He's my fifth candle. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Look, he's terrible. Terrible. I'm not blaming Anthony Michael Hall, because I actually think Anthony Michael Hall is awesome in this. He is sleazy. He is gross, but he's also a nerd. You feel vulnerable about him too.
Yeah. He just, like, I think he just throws himself into this role. But yeah, he's kind of, I mean, I'm pretty, you know, from all the 15-year-old boys I met when I was at school, they're all pretty much like that. I don't know. They're all, like, you know, they're geeky, but they think they're cool and, like, have this weird confidence, even though they're massive nerds. But I think he's great in the part. It's just the part is a bit, you know, awkward at times.
Absolutely. But the last time I think I watched it, I was really down on this character. This time I'm going to go to bat for him a little and for something you said exactly. While it is disgusting and wrong and illegal in a lot of scenes, very illegal.
Yes.
Like, if you got transported to the 80s, or maybe even today, let's be honest, but if you got transported to the 80s to this high school, there would be someone acting like this.
Yes.
It's a hyper masculinity that's definitely not earned. Mm. He thinks he's so cool, as you said.
Yeah.
He's stealing lines that he sees in the movies and TV.
Mm.
And he thinks this is what women want. And he's generally disappointed when it's not the case. So as much as the character is problematic, it's not unrealistic, and Anthony Michael Hall kills it as this character.
Yeah, he definitely does. Like, the bit when he's dancing, that bit is hilarious. I know, like, you know, Molly Ringwald has completely had enough because he's in her space, but the way he's just, like, doing that scene, like, you know, acting-wise, I think that scene's funny, but yeah.
I agree. Like, I think you can appreciate a performance and not think that the character is morally okay, you know? Like, yeah. That's fine. And the creepiness there lies in the writing, and I think we'll talk about it, but there are other characters who, in my mind, make more obvious, egregious boo-boos, if you will. Mm. But yeah, so I don't know if light that's a positive candle or a negative candle for the geek. Maybe it's a little bit of both.
Maybe it's a neutral candle.
Neutral candle, if you will. Like I said, on the last watch, I think I was really down on him. On this watch, I was like, oh, he's actually doing a really, really good job for what he's given.
Mm.
And again, he felt real too. Just like Molly Ringwald felt real, he felt real.
Yeah.
Okay, Shawnee, fifth candle's up to you.
All right. I think I'll go a sort of neutral candle again, just sort of leading on from Anthony Michael Hall's character. His two friends, I feel like they kind of, obviously they're even geekier than Palmer Ted somehow. I don't know, because he is massively geeky. But yeah, they're sort of just a fun pair of like backup characters sort of for his kind of role. But I think they just bring a lot of funniness themselves to the role. Obviously, one is played by the other Cusack, John Cusack, also making an appearance, and he gets lines.
Yes, that despite him still blocking us on Twitter,
we are
John Cusack fans here.
Yes, your old friend John Cusack. I think he just seems like a natural in that part as well. Like, he just seems really real as a teen. Never seen the other guy in anything else. Actually, don't know if he was in anything else, but they just seem like a really good pair. And they seem kind of like they'd be the sidekicks of like the King of the Nerds, because they kind of seem, they almost seem a little bit more normal, but they seem like they wouldn't want to be in charge. So they're kind of just happy to just go along, do their geeky playing video games, wearing two pairs of pajamas, but split. So they're wearing like, you know, one shirt and one pair of pants from a different pair of pajamas. But like, I think they're just like a funny support kind of, you know, comedy kind of duo in the background.
Absolutely. I think they have the same problems that Farmer Ted has. Mm. They kind of sometimes do problematic things, but they're also doing his bidding.
Yeah.
They are great. They're hilarious. Mm. Like, again, I wish they weren't like taking a picture of an unconscious lady, you know, stuff like that.
But taking a picture of something else, that scene is hilarious. And when they just like make so much noise and they come outside, and then he's like, oh, you know what would be really beautiful? Black and white. And then they just sit.
Wait a minute, you know, black and white, it would just capture the moment so nicely, wouldn't it?
Did you take the picture already?
Like, I love that
admiring
line.
The photography of it all.
I crack up every time at that line.
Yeah.
And again, their characters are named Cliff and Bryce.
Yeah.
They're just perfect. You've picked two Cusack things in a row, but I dig it. They were both on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. I always laugh at them. Just like the stuff they put on their head.
And yeah.
Their talk of aliens.
Yeah. Female extraterrestrials. Like, that whole bit is funny. But... And then a little bit with the like scary guys that you think they're going to beat them up, but actually they put them in the boot of their car and drop them home. So they get home safe. Like...
Okay. I mean, that's a good one. Okay. Sixth candle is mine. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if we'll be like grasping at straws later for candles or we'll, you know, have candles extra in the bag. Who knows? But sixth candle, I definitely got one. And this is largely a plus.
Mm-hmm.
I know people have disagreed with me in the past, but I actually really like the dad in this movie. Yes, he forgets her birthday. Mm-hmm. Yes, he completely doesn't understand why his daughter is upset. But I like that he's a character that learns and he realizes like what is going on in her life. He relates to her. And eventually he's like, look, we'll talk about Jake Ryan later, but eventually he's like, you don't have to go to this reception, you know, just if you want to do that, like if that makes you happy, go for it. You know, and he's really one of the people who lifts her spirits from being completely down in the dumps to, hey, you know, I got some, you know, like there's something going for me.
I mean, yeah, I think he's, as movie parents go, he's okay, I think. But yeah, he's kind of a bit useless. But I mean, every parent in...
Oh, trust me.
Every parent in teen films always are, but...
Trust me. For like a teen-focused film, he's like one of the characters who's given the most like lines and love and... Mm.
And he is like a funny sort of character. Like he's not offensive in any way. He's sort of just... You know, a bit useless, but, you know, all movie dads are like that. So, yeah, I think he's all right.
I think the only time where he's kind of offensive is to, like, the groom's family.
Yeah, but...
Which they're depicted
offensively
anyway.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah, with the whole like Godfather theme in the background and like.
I think I went into it last time. It doesn't make any sense. Like, they don't even have like an Italian last name. They're not like.
Yeah, the wrist check.
Necessarily depicted. Yeah, the wrist checks. Yeah. Okay. Like, John Hughes, have you met an Italian person before?
Yeah. I do like always like that line when he goes like, you know, I thought she said his name was Rudy. Like, why doesn't he just had dinner with him. Why doesn't he know the name of the guy his daughter's marrying?
I do like that line though, because it reminds me like, this is a pretty forgetful dad.
Yeah. And I think they're just like, I don't actually know why she's marrying this guy after 6 months. But anyway, just don't remember his name because we don't like him. But
okay, Shawnee, seventh candle. You're up.
I feel like this, it's not sort of like a negative. I don't know. It sort of is a bit. I feel like they could have given Molly Ringwald a better best friend. I just don't feel like she's very understanding of any of the problems that she's having on this really bad birthday.
No, I can agree with that. Mm. Like, it's interesting to point out. Like, I'll put this for me more like a neutral thing. Like, because she's not terrible. I think she's very teen-like. Like,
yeah.
She reminds me of someone who would be a teenager, but she's also, like you said, not really there for her friend.
Yeah, because she's kind of like, well, you know, it could be worse. Like, but I don't know. If someone forgot her birthday, I think she'd be pretty upset. And I mean, I get that, like, Jake Ryan is obviously a lot older and doesn't know that she's alive. But she does, like, point that out all the time. Like, she just doesn't seem all that, you know, amazingly supportive as a best friend should be. I feel like she's just telling her to stop complaining all the time. Not going, you know, yeah, you know, I get what you mean. Like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, but best friends are often a bit like that in teen films. Either they're really supportive or they're just a bit useless or a bit mean.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay, so eighth candle belongs to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to present something I really liked about this film. Okay. And that's the soundtrack.
Mm.
You know, I love the music in this film. It's very much of the time, but it feels cool. It doesn't feel so dated that I don't want to listen to it.
Mm.
Thompson Twins, If You Were Here, great song. And how they use it is great in this. Mm. And they have some old songs too, but also like Rebel Yell, Billy Idol, Young Americans, David Bowie.
Definitely.
And, you know, I think they have like a Brian Setzer, or sorry, Stray Cats cover of 16 Candles. Mm. It's a good soundtrack. I'm pretty sure I have it on vinyl. I can't remember, but it's a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, because sometimes soundtracks in these kind of films, sometimes they're just kind of averagey 80s music that you've never heard before. But this one definitely, they put in, you know, songs that even now, if you don't know a lot about 80s music, you go, oh, I know that one. There's like, you know, a whole lot of 80s hits in there that they use really well. They're never just thrown in. They always seem to work really well with the scene that they're in.
Absolutely. I was actually just going to say that as well, right? Like, you hear them, but they're not distracting. So many times, I know you've seen in movies where they just like blast the song in the background for like 30 seconds and it's like so distracting. Like, okay, we get it. Okay. You put a Madonna song in here, you know? And you don't get that. Like, even like the stuff they're playing at the dance, it kind of just floats into the background and marries itself so well with what the movie is. So,
yeah.
Eighth Candle is for the soundtrack.
All right, great.
We're halfway.
Yeah, great.
Okay, your candle, Shawnee. Ninth candle.
All right, ninth candle. I feel like the scene in like the car workshop thing where Sam has sort of like gone off because she's kind of, you know, annoyed that the little geeky guy is bothering her again and she's still upset about Jake, but then she kind of just disappears and sits in half the car. But then the little geeky guy sort of follows her. And even though it kind of ends slightly creepily, I sort of feel like the conversation that they have, that seems like a really good scene because he's kind of like finally listening to her and sort of, it seems like he's kind of getting that, you know, maybe the way he's been pursuing her is not the way to go, that, you know, you should actually just listen to what she's saying. And I just feel like that conversation seems kind of really natural and just, I feel like that's a good exchange between them.
Hey, Jude.
Just stop it, okay? I mean, it's really been a shitty birthday for me. No offense, but I don't need a serenade right now.
What's wrong? You didn't get anything good? Or?
I didn't get shit. Not even a happy birthday. My whole family just sort of blew it off.
I'd freak if my family forgot my birthday.
It's a brand new year. I'm 16. Everything should be platinum. I should be happy, right? Right?
Yeah.
Well, I can't get happy. It is physically impossible for me to get happy.
Would you feel better if you knew one of my secrets, or?
Don't gross me out.
No, we're not talking gross here. No, it's just embarrassing. This information cannot leave this room, okay? It would devastate my reputation as a dude.
No problem.
I've never bagged a babe. I'm not a stud. I got the rep in sixth grade, and it stuck with me. I'm still on hold. Look, I appreciate you not laughing at me, okay?
I'm sorry.
That's not what I meant. I meant...
Hey!
Oh, Junior! Pardon me.
It's okay. Again.
Sorry.
You know, just now I really felt how much you like me.
I'm probably zoning in on my brainwaves or something.
Well, not really. I felt it on my leg. Come on, I don't want to see it. Oh. Sorry if I embarrassed you.
I'm not embarrassed. Fresh breath's priority in my life.
I agree. They're amazing in that scene, Anthony Michael Hall and Molly Ringwald. You feel real chemistry between them. Not chemistry, like they should get together kind of chemistry, but like chemistry that they're both teenagers having this conversation.
Yeah.
It feels real. It's a great conversation. It's unfortunately ends, you know, with him trying to make a move on her, which I'm like, oh man, I was hoping you'd learn from this. Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, I was hoping you'd learn that, like, if you listen to people and, you know, it's a good idea. That cheapened it a little bit. I get it. It was like, especially for the time, for the laugh.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's like, oh, so was he just listening to her to make out with her? Because it seemed like they had a real moment of connection here, which is great. Like, the moment of connection is great.
But then I feel kind of like, after that bit where she's like, you know, I said it was okay that you did it once. I didn't want you to do it again. But at least kind of, I think after that, they talk properly a bit more again. I mean, obviously he then ruins it again by throwing in, I made a bit and I need your knickers. But I mean, that does deepen the conversation. But I mean, then she, even though she hated him this morning, she actually gives them to him, which is kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, that's a little odd. Yeah. No, you're right. Good point. I was putting the order of that differently.
Mm.
So yeah, they do have a good conversation again. So it's not, when I look at it that way, it's not as bad.
Mm.
But you've sold me on this. You've sold me on this. Because when they do come back, look, the underwear thing's weird. It's obviously a gag for the movie.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he's asking her, and she does it because it's like, oh, I don't want this kid to be humiliated. You know, he should really be like, listen, I wasn't able to get it, you know? But for what it's worth, you're right. The fact that they talk after that kiss kind of like corrects the fact that it happened. A little bit. Yeah. It doesn't forgive it. You know what I mean?
I mean, because later on then she's like, oh my God, I gave my panties to a geek. I think she's like, why did I do? But I think at the time she sort of felt like maybe he wasn't as bad as she thought. He was just really awkward, but like trying to put on this sort of bravado to stay cool.
He didn't need to charge people to see it like a big group. Like, if theoretically you want to show Bryce and Cliff,
because that was, you know, it was just a sort of bet with them. I don't know why all of a sudden all these other boys are, you know, sneaking into the toilet paying $1, but who got the money? Were they splitting it between the three of them? Like,
I guess
I feel like I they know, should have given the money to Sam, but anyway.
Well, she definitely earned. If I were her, I'd be like, where's my money?
Where's my, because, you know, she gets told later that they were paying $1 for her underwear. So she should be like, hey, you know, next week on the bus, she should be like, so where's my money? Where's my dollars?
Okay, 10th candle, and that's mine. Mm-hmm. We can't save all these big ones to the end, as we're soon approaching all our candles. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Long Duk Dong. Let's talk about it.
We can't avoid it anymore. We have to get into that.
Yeah, I don't know if on any watch this character was funny to people. Yeah. Maybe at the time, but certainly today it's so dated. It's so cringy. Mm. I was so happy when a movie you talked about before, to All the Boys I Loved Before, you know, Laura Jean, as she said, she loves this movie, and she makes her Jake Ryan, if you will, watch it.
Yeah.
Peter Kavinsky, and he points it out, and she's like, oh, he's incredibly racist.
Yeah, but we watch it anyway.
Like, it made me feel good about this film. Like, oh, okay, you can still appreciate something and kind of delete the problematic things. Yeah. Not delete, but just, like, acknowledge them.
Yeah.
But find its essence. I liked that scene in that movie still.
Yeah.
Every time I watch this, I'm like, oh, my God.
I wish they'd kind of just, because obviously the actor was of Japanese heritage, but they decided to make him Chinese. But I just wish that if they decided to make him a different type of Asian person that he actually was, they should have stuck with it. But it's like they keep talking about him being Chinese, but then in the background, there's Japanese music. Then the opening cue of turning Japanese is in the background. Like, what are they doing? And he's sort of doing like a sort of Korean type accent. Like, just pick what type of, you know, Asian heritage he's meant to be, because that's why it seems more racist, I think, because it's like he's just a bit of everything. Like, and that's not right.
He didn't need he didn't need to be like have all these stereotypes, you know. He could have toned it down.
Yeah,
because, you know, fish out of water situations are funny. If you took theoretically an American person and put them in a Japanese high school, you would get some comedy out of that. Yeah. Right, but like the what they're pulling for comedy is not cool, you know.
Yeah.
It's like racist stuff. And I talked about this last year, but I always want to mention that, like, I don't blame this actor. Gedi Watanabe is his name.
Yeah.
He's talked about this in the past, and he's like, look at Hollywood at that time. There are not a lot of parts for Asians and Asian Americans.
Yeah. Or often they'd have people that weren't even Asian and they'd make them be Asian.
Oh, as we've seen in like stuff like Breakfast at Tiffany's, you know?
That happened like all the time. So, I mean, it's still horrible, but I mean, at least he is, again, he's not that type of Asian. Like, he's not Chinese, but at least he actually is Asian. But I mean, that's probably the only okay thing about it, but like... But yeah, everything else is just a misstep.
And he was pretty old when he played this character too. I think he was at least 30.
During a Cameron?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
This is one of his first films, and this really put him on the map because he ended up doing a lot of stuff. He did this film Gung Ho, which I like, with Michael Keaton. He's a voice in Mulan of Ling. You know, like, is he like an A-lister? No, but I think he's still even working today. Again, I like him because I've seen interviews with him. It's just so unfortunate. And I alluded to this before, but Long Duk Dong is based on a character in the original Christmas Vacation National Lampoon's story that John Hughes wrote. Like, so not the movie. I forgot what it was exactly called, but he wrote a story for National Lampoon's, and it's semi autobiographical. And in that story... which, again, that story would later be adapted into Christmas Vacation. But in that story, there's a character who's just like Long Duk Dong, and he's kind of being made fun of in the same way. So I'm not saying it's a good thing, but that's where it came from. And I guess John Hughes was like, this character's great. I have to put him in something. And this was his first film, so he chose this. Again, I don't think it adds anything to the movie. I think, you know, there's enough of the other side characters that we don't need another side character with him. It's so weird too that, like, okay, so just a little background, right? He's an exchange student who's staying, or is he adopted? I'm not sure. They're not really clear.
I think he's an exchange student.
I'm unclear because so Sam's grandparents are hosting him, but they're making him call them grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
And I'm not really sure how that is organized. Did they just hear, like, in the local neighborhood that the school didn't have enough, like, families to host? But it always seems a bit like they kind of are hosting him so he'll do their chores. Because they keep referring to, like, you know, when he does all of the, like, you know, stuff around the house. It seems a bit like, and all the, like...
And, like, what is going on
And all
here?
The horrible, like, you know, clapping. Like, you know, Dong with his awful, like, clapping in his face. Like, which seems a bit like, I think he does that all the time. Just that whole situation is a bit strange.
It's very strange. It's weird. It's, we have an award named after him for a reason.
Yes.
But yeah, Long Duk Dong. Not the best moment in teen film history.
No. I'm sort of glad that this film was made first by John Hughes, because what if he tried to add him into the Breakfast Club or something? Like, ugh.
God.
So I'm glad Long Duk Dong is in the movie that already has lots of awful stuff in it. Like, I'm glad it wasn't in, like, Pretty in Pink or, like, you know. So I'm glad they were kept as, like, you know, perfect. And then all the dodgy stuff was in this one. And Weird Science, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but again, I forgot about Weird Science. Also problematic, but
I think that was always
again.
Bad.
All his movies have heart and some fun in them. So I don't want Long Duk Dong to soil 16 Candles completely.
Yes, no, there's definitely worse characters to come. But
one more thing about the Donger, if you will. Yep. Who's that woman that he ends up dating? Is she a teacher? Is she a really old-looking student? I'm not sure.
I think she's a student. I feel like she's like on the track team or something, because she's talking about being really fast.
I always thought she was a gym teacher, and I was like, oh my God, because she is a lot older. At least she looks it, but I hope not. I hope she's a student, because Long Duk Dong's a student.
I always assume she's a student, but they're trying to throw in like a... I don't really know what they're trying to say about that character.
I think it's racist in itself, too. Like, oh my God, the silly Chinese guy even got a girl, but Sam is shut out?
Yeah.
Which is like, why can't he get someone, you know? Like, why can't he connect with someone? Like,
yeah. And she's like, you know, the Dong has been here like 5 minutes and he's got someone. I've been here my whole life and I've got no one. Like...
Okay, Shawnee, you're up. 11th candle for this Sweet 16.
All right. I think I'm going to go with something I don't like. Sort of the way that the movie treats Caroline.
Oh, good one.
Yes. I feel like the movie kind of sets it up that really when you watch it, you go, actually, Jake is just tired of going out with her, but he doesn't want to just be grown up and break up with her. So it's sort of, he's now decided that everything he thought was fine, like her partying and drinking and all of that, he thought that was fine like last week. But then it's sort of, really, it's kind of like he's just trying to get rid of her and he's decided that she's just like, you know, yucky and like partying, and he wants like, you know, a nice little sort of virgin girlfriend. It's sort of, the movie kind of portrays her like she's this really awful person, but you actually go, she's actually just like normal. And then the other girls are sort of talking about the fact that apparently she's really nice, like, and I think it's just, it really shows her in like a really bad light to almost justify him like, you know, chucking her. But I think it's sort of, I think that's really unfair. I think she's actually just like a nice normal person. And maybe she just likes to party a bit, but, like, it's not a bad thing.
Well, Jake is hosting the party, so how the hell can he talk?
And he gets really angry, but it's like, but you knew the party was going on, and you went upstairs and just, like, pretended it wasn't happening. Like, I think you, like, you're not respecting your parents either. You're letting them trash the house. Like, you, if he's the most popular guy in the school, he could have very easily gone, everyone get out, and they would have listened.
Yeah, we'll talk about Jake in a little bit for sure. Yeah. But just back to Caroline, because I don't want to miss her. Every time I watch this movie, I like her more and more.
Yeah,
and
I
realize
do as well.
She's not the bad guy. Mm. She's so nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, a couple things, right? Like, I know it's a body double. I'm pretty sure it's a body double.
Yeah.
But there's, like, a nude scene with her in this film.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. I don't need to see a high schooler completely naked, theoretically.
Yeah, and there's, like, a weird sound effect, like, boom. Like, it's sort of, like, boob sound effect. Like, I don't know. But I just feel like that bit wasn't necessary.
It wasn't necessary. The only part that I thought, oh, okay, I do understand this, is, like, when you're growing up, people grow up at different rates, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think we all remember a moment where we saw someone and they're like, wow, they look a lot more adult than I do.
You know,
I mean, to put it more diplomatic, right?
Like,
I feel awkward about my body. And Sam certainly feels awkward about her body.
Yeah.
But did we need to see her completely naked to convey that?
Yeah.
Like, we could have just saw her head and saw the shower, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like it's setting up this, like, as a lot of movies do, it's setting up this weird competition between, like, the two girls that there actually isn't a competition.
Not at all.
They're not even in, like, the same sphere at school. Caroline probably doesn't even know that Sam is alive. But it's setting up this weird kind of, which movies love to do. They love to, like, it doesn't mean anything, but they love to just add in, like, oh, there's two girls. There must be a competition. But, like, there isn't. That's definitely not in Caroline's mind. Cause...
No. And honestly, I think she's great. Like, I'm not always a fan of when people are playing, like, high or people playing drunk. But I think she's, like, a really... Like, she made me laugh as a drunk with her and her friends when the hair gets cut.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, that bit is funny. Like, she's not, like, a nasty drunk or anything. And she's not, like, trashing the house.
No.
Like, she's just, you know, as they seem to always do. Apparently, they have parties at Jake's all the time. And he's obviously fine with it other times. But she's just, like, you know, having a good time. Like, it's the weekend. They've had a dance. Like, she's not a bad person, but it's kind of making her a bit like, ooh, she's a bit like, you know, trashy and awful. And isn't it good that he doesn't want to date her anymore? But I actually think she's kind of treated really unfairly because she seems really nice. I love her.
She does. And she's funny and she's like, she's not doing anything other high schoolers wouldn't do or aren't doing there. So let's just do it then. Let's just light this next candle and I'll be the one to light it for Jake Ryan. And is there a more, is there a character in teen film history who is like completely 180'd their reputation more than Jake Ryan?
Yeah, I don't think there is. Because like at least in other teen films, if there's like the villain character, like in Pretty in Pink, like, you know James Spader is awful because he's just awful the whole time. But like at least you know that going in. But this, it's kind of like they kind of make it seem like Jake Ryan's just like, you know, ideal and he's great. And then as you watch the movie, you go like, ugh. Like I think when I first saw this before I noticed problematic things when I was just a little teen and I didn't think about things like that. But I used to think, you know, Jake Ryan was like a massive babe because you're meant to think that. But now it's like I watch it and I just want to like punch him in the face because I just like, he is horrible.
And famously, this actor kind of left the business. He's like a carpenter now or something. For generations, the ideal guy in a movie was Jake Ryan. Like so many people, even when I was watching this, being younger, I was like, wow, is there anyone cooler than Jake Ryan? Everyone loved Jake Ryan. Yeah. So like no one should feel bad for like the cult of Jake Ryan. But if you watch this film now, he makes so many decisions that are so screwed up. You hit a big one, right? First of all, like dumping Caroline, which is fine.
Yeah.
If he's not into her anymore, fine. But like blaming her.
But have a talk to her about that. Don't just like, you know, sell her for a pair of knickers to some nerd. Like, you know, be responsible and just like treat her like a person, not like a piece of trash.
Which he does. And I think it's really, I think it's sweet how he recognizes Sam and he's like, wow, you know what? Like, this is someone who I would like to get to know. But if you think about it, he doesn't know a thing about her. And he's just, he hasn't stopped to get to know her at all. They have a study period together, but it's not like a class.
And it's like, so it's not like, does he actually like anything about her? Or is he now just interested because he knows she likes him? What does he actually like about her?
Very, very logical question. And as we go through the movie, his girlfriend is Caroline at the party, very, very drunk. Yeah. And this is probably the most problematic thing in the film.
And it's like they don't even try and hide how awful he is. He's actually like straight up saying all these awful things. Like it's been in there all along that he's actually awful and we've just never noticed.
You better not be dicking me around. Be a major downer to try and get together with this girl and find out she really does think I'm a slime.
Jake, would I dick you? Let me put you this way. What happens to me if I dick you?
I'll kick your ass.
Right. So why would I lie? But I feel compelled to mention to you, Jake. I mean, if all you want off the girl is a piece of ass, I mean, I'll either do it myself or get someone bigger than me to kick your ass. I mean, not many girls in contemporary American society today would give their underwear to help a geek like me.
I can get a piece of ass anytime I want. Shit, I got Caroline in the bedroom right now, passed out cold. I could violate her 10 different ways if I wanted to.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. She's beautiful and she's built and all that. I'm just not interested anymore.
Does that really matter, guy?
Yeah, it matters. She's totally insensitive. Look what she did to my house. She doesn't know shit about love. All I think she cares about is partying. I want a serious girlfriend. Somebody I can love, that's gonna love me back. Is that psycho?
It's beautiful, Jake. You know, I think a ton of guys feel the same way as you do.
Really?
Yeah, it's just they don't have the balls to admit, you know what I mean? I mean, they're wimps. Samantha is, she's really special, you know?
Make a deal with you. Let me keep these. I'll let you take Carolyn home. But you gotta make sure she gets home. You can't leave her in some parking lot somewhere. Okay?
Jake, I'm only a freshman.
So? She's so blitz, she won't know the difference.
Jake, I don't have a car.
You can take mine.
Jake, I don't have a license.
I trust you.
No. And what? He's like, oh, Caroline's passed out up there. I could violate her 10 times if I wanted to.
What? And then the little nerd's like, well, what are you waiting for? Like, what? Excuse me? What is happening? Like,
yeah, like, is this really in a movie? I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm a good guy. Dude, for even thinking that, you're not a good guy.
You actually just, like, mentioned that. So now we're like, have you thought about that before? Like, ugh. Have you done that before? Like, I don't know. But apparently they have these parties all the time. And like,
jeez, yeah.
Even if you don't want to go out with her anymore, obviously we have those parties all the time. She probably stays over after the parties all the time. Why not just, you might not want to date her anymore, but you still should respect her as a person. Why not just leave her upstairs, let her sleep it off, wake up tomorrow, and then talk about it. Don't go, well, I don't want anything to do with her anymore. I'll just let some rando take her home while she's completely off her face.
Absolutely. Clearly his family is very rich, right?
Yeah.
So they have more than one bedroom.
Yeah.
He can sleep in another bedroom and she'll be safe there. Like, yeah. Again, you don't have to, it's like, I need her away from me.
Yeah, because
right now
I've just decided she's awful. Like, I just get her away from me and I'll just leave her with anyone. But then he goes like, you know, but you've got to make sure she gets home. Well, why? You obviously don't care if she gets home or not.
No, of course not, because he sends a drunk kid who's admittedly also very drunk
and
to drive his father's car. Yeah, who can't drive. Basically a death wish.
Yeah.
They're lucky they survived. And then also,
he doesn't care.
It's been debated whether, you know, I don't want to get this dark, but, you know, like whether it's a rape or not between the geek and what happens there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of, you know, sure about that, but yeah, because
it's not great, but yeah. Caroline at least seems to have been somewhat lucid.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I really enjoyed it. You were good. She seems to kind of even remember more than him. So in that respect, maybe it was consensual. We don't need it.
Yeah.
But...
And I just hate how they throw in that they're like a couple after that. It's like they put that in to like make it okay what happened. Like,
yeah, like, no, that doesn't make it okay.
That's not believable. No. And she's so not going to go out with him, obviously.
And the person that I think the person we have to blame is the person who we lit the candle for. And that's Jake Ryan.
Definitely.
Because he sends them on this and he's the one who knows that they're both not in a state to be doing this. And someone might say, you know, the excuse in the show is always like, he's in high school. His judgment is not supposed to be great. But this is beyond, like, bad high school judgment. I know high schoolers who would make better judgments than what Jake
and
Ryan is
doing. And he seems grown
up
enough, like, in the rest of his attitude to know that that's not right.
And he's sober. The bottom line is, like, he's sober. I don't think he's been drinking all night. They don't show it. And if he is, he's clearly not drinking to that extent.
Yeah. Because I think he's just, like, given up on the party altogether. He's just like, I'm out of this party. Like, I don't think he is joining in any way. You know, he's completely of sound mind. So there's no excuse for his decision.
Absolutely not. Just, I know this is so much less of a problem than everything else we're saying, but he dresses like such a dad. It's like disturbing to me.
Yeah, with his little like vests and everything.
His vest is like tucked in shirt with those like weirdo cargo pants.
Yes.
I was reading today that like Viggo Mortensen was second place.
Yes, and I think Molly Ringwald wanted him to be in it because apparently in the audition he kissed her and she was like, oh my God. And I think she thought,
oh yeah.
Yeah, and I think
I forgot about
she
that.
Thought the guy that they ended up picking, I think she just thought it was a bit awkward because he was really shy. So I think she kind of struggled in that role with him because he was sort of a bit, he was just really quiet and shy. And I think she kind of, you know, wanted the guy that was kissing her in the audition.
Viggo Mortensen's such like a, I don't know, he seems like a pretty conscious guy.
Yeah.
I'm glad for his sake he didn't do that role because I feel like it would eat him alive if he was Jake Ryan. Like,
yeah.
I feel like the whole world would have changed and he might not have been our Aragorn in Lord of the Rings.
Or he might have been Aragorn and we all would have gone, oh no, he's Jake Ryan. Ugh. But like, yeah, I'm glad. And that really does not seem like his type of film at all.
No.
I think instead of that, he was in Witness. So like, that is more a Viggo Mortensen type of film, not 16 Candles. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm sort of glad that he wasn't in it because, yeah.
Yeah, when you're starting your career with Witness instead of 16 Candles, you're pretty much changing the trajectory of what it's all going to be.
All leaning to being Aragorn, and he might not have got a look in otherwise. So it was lucky. Lucky for him.
Okay. 13th candle. Okay. This is yours, Shoni.
All right. Well, I think we've sort of touched on it a little bit, but maybe the sort of conversation between Sam and her dad after, because it's that this movie I always find a little bit odd, because it's sort of, she's the main character, but for a whole chunk of the middle of the film, she disappears and it becomes this weird party scene that has nothing to do with her. And it always seems really a bit strange, like it's two different movies. It's like the Sam movie and then there's this party movie in the middle, but she finally,
yeah, that's a good call.
But she finally reappears. And obviously, unfortunately, after her awful day, she's on the couch because there's no rooms left in the house because they've chucked her out of her room because of her grandparents. But yeah, so she's kind of just downstairs. I think she's just feeling sorry for herself. It's just been the worst day ever. Even if it wasn't forgetting her birthday, she's had a bad day anyway. Yeah, and then the dad sort of comes down and finally goes like, oh, I'm really sorry. We've remembered, like, it's your birthday. We were terrible. Like, I kind of wish the mum had come down as well, because it seems a bit like we're just sending one family member down to apologize. But yeah, I just think even though the dad's a bit, he just, I don't know, seems a little bit dense because he just doesn't seem to get at all what she's saying, which I think she's being very clear about what she's saying. But yeah, it just seems like a very teen movie parent-child exchange. Like, I'm glad that they threw it in because at least someone's going, I'm sorry. We, you know, we were wrong. It was your birthday. We shouldn't have forgotten you. We still love you, but, you know.
Yeah, no, and I think it's one of the more iconic moments of the film, that's for sure.
And then, yeah, at the end he throws in, like, you know, make sure you wear the pants in the family. And it's like, ah! And then she remembers, you know, the awkwardness of earlier.
I like what he's saying. I just think he's saying it in, like, a very 1980s way. Like,
yeah.
He's saying to her, like, oh, you should stick up for yourself. You know, yeah. You should, like...
And then he's sort of like, I don't really feel like this has helped, but could you just tell me that it's helped so I feel better about myself? But and she's like, yeah, sure, Dad. But really, it's like, I haven't really helped. He might have helped a little bit because it just helped her say it out loud. Just... you know, get her feelings out, even though he wasn't really understanding, but...
Yeah, no, but again, that's why I kind of liked him, though, because it did feel like a dad not relating to his daughter. Very, like, teenage dad kind of thing. Okay, 14th candle, and this is another negative one, unfortunately. It's just overall the casual racism slash homophobia slash ableism slash... it's peppered throughout the dialogue.
Yes.
Like, offensive dialogue, yeah, we'll say.
It definitely is. Now, because no one says, oh God, see, I don't even want to say it. But no one says like, those kind of, you know, slurs, the homophobic slurs anymore. And when you watch 80s films and they just throw it in all the time, it's like, ugh, ugh. Because I was thinking about it last night. That was the one of the 80s. Then, like, in the 90s, there was a different one. Then when I was at school, everyone would just go like, oh, that's gay. But I was thinking, like, now, in this kind of generation, there's not, like, a new one. Because people now go, like, you can't say that. Like, you can't just throw in, like, a casual slur about everything. Yeah, so I feel like there's not, like, a 2020 version of that, which is good. And it's now that's not in films. But, yeah, when you hear it, it's, like, thrown in all over the place. It's like, ugh, please just, that didn't need to be there.
And, again, it's not something I'm going to blame the film for completely. Because I think... people were talking like that, as you said, even when we were in school, the words were different, but people were still being very offensive when it comes to that, like, in the prism of today. It is still jarring at times when they drop, you know, the homophobic slurs or even some lines like this always catches my ear. Even the first time I watched this movie, when she's talking about at the beginning with her best friend, she's talking about what she wants and something. I forget, like a daydream sequence.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, something like a dreamy guy and Trans Am. And she says black. And her friend goes, oh, black guy?
She's like,
it's
no,
a bad thing. And she's like, no.
White, pink guy or whatever. Like,
Yeah, pink guy. Yeah. Oh, because I forgot what she... And it's like, what? Like, why is this in here? Like, we're all supposed to be, oh my God. Like, oh my God, would be with a black guy? Yeah.
Like. that bit, like, because the movie felt like, oh my God, we have to clarify that, like, you know, she wants a white guy. Like, oh my God. But, like, didn't need to be in there. You could just talk about her car, a little daydream, and just move on. But
yeah. And again, maybe at the time it wasn't as offensive. And I wasn't offended. I wasn't like, oh my God, I need to shut this movie off. But it does take me out of it today. a little bit, like, hearing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a couple other ones. I mean, all the language towards Long Duk Dong is racist, yeah. You know. And like you said, the musical cues, the gong and stuff like that. But that part doesn't age as well. And, you know, you've alluded to this before. Other John Hughes films have some of this, but not to the amount that 16 Candles
like, you watch sort of Pretty in Pink and you go, well, obviously there's bits just character-wise I don't like Blaine is a weenie, but it's not, like, doing anything. He's just doing, like, awful emotional kind of stuff, but there's not anything, he's not doing anything, like, nasty or awful or, like, you know, illegal to her. Like, it's sort of, James Spader's just mean, but, like, he's not doing anything, like, you know, illegal or throwing girls out like they're rubbish, but so at least you watch that and you go, there's not actually really anything problematic, but then this one you just go, like, ugh. I mean, I still enjoy parts of it, but just the other bits, like, just bother me more and more.
Like, could you imagine Ferris Bueller, like, spitting out a homophobic slur?
Yeah, like, ugh, no, that just would ruin the whole tone of just the fun of being Ferris, like, you know.
So I guess, you know, maybe, hopefully John Hughes learned a little bit. Maybe he was like, ooh, it was a little too harsh with that
Yeah.
one. Okay, Shawnee, this is your last candle, right. So. 15th candle.
I think this is sort of like a positive one because this scene always seems funny. It's the whole wedding everything. The sort of getting ready for the wedding in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of thing. And then obviously the awkward funniness of Ginny. She's woken up. It's the day of her wedding. She's got her period. And she's in like a lot of pain. So then she takes like muscle relaxers. But the mother thinks she's just taken one and she's taken kind of like five or something. So she's completely out of it. So this scene is sort of just like is hilarious.
It's funny. It has a character or an actor we've talked about before, which is the what's her name in Teen Witch?
Yes. I don't remember her name in that.
I forgot Madam, her name. Madam something. Thing, but, Serena?
Yeah, Madam Serena. But yes, Zelda Rubinstein is hilarious as the little organ player who has a very liquidy sounding bag. So I think afterwards she's having a bit of a tipple after she's done her organ playing. But she's sort of just this funny little, like, you know, side character that keeps popping up through the wedding scene. But yeah, I always think it's funny the bit just before they start walking Ginny up the aisle that, yeah, the dad sort of rushes out the back because they've had someone faint. And then the mum's like, you know, we don't want to announce to everyone that she's on her period. And then it's like, she just, that just echoes throughout the church. So it's like, oh my God. And then like Rudy throws in, you know, guess those people that thought we had to get married feel stupid right now. And then,
Yeah.
One of the Murray brothers, the elder brother of Bill Murray, is the priest.
Yeah, and he's not particularly funny or anything. Like, but
now people just think that that's like, you know, trivia, but really it was just having a bit part in a film. But
yeah.
The wedding scene is sort of, I mean, it's over the top, but it's funny. It's just like a funny, awkward.
I like it, yeah. There's even like a line the dad throws in like, oh, I paid $7,000 for this wedding and I'm not going to get to see it. And I'm like, oh, if you can get a wedding for $7,000 these days, buddy, you should be happy.
Yeah, definitely. But and then the whole, you know, the wedding is finished and then Ginny's like throwing like, you know, her stockings and her shoes and her petticoat and she's just like, and the husband's kind of like, oh my God, this is how I was planning the day to go. But she sort of just like drives away. And then Sam kind of misses it all because she rushes in. Because she's forgotten her veil, and then she's like, well, you know, everyone's going to be waiting for me. And the little organ lady's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Which I'm glad you bring up, because that is my 16th candle, the ending of this film. Which, again, I keep losing respect for Jake Ryan, so I'm upset that it's him.
Yeah.
But look, this is something she wanted. It doesn't mean they're getting married or anything.
Yeah.
Maybe she's going to date him and be like, oh, I can date other people. This guy sucks.
Yeah.
But I love this ending. I just love the music. Mm. Like, who me? Yeah, you. You know?
Yeah.
You were here.
You came here for me.
It's
that okay?
Yeah, it's okay.
Do you have to go to reception now?
I'm supposed to.
Can I call you later?
Sure. I mean, no.
No, I can't call you later?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not going to reception.
Oh, great.
Thanks for coming to get me.
Happy birthday, Samantha. Good wish.
It already came true.
It is weird, like, let's hang out. Like, she skips the reception, and that's the most fun part of the wedding. So yeah. That, I feel bad about that.
And that reception was probably going to be hilarious, because Ginny was off her face.
It's true. It probably would have been a fun time.
Yeah.
Even still, it's such an iconic moment, you know, the transition from that to, like, them on the table with the cake.
Yes.
That her wish, you know, has already come true. And my heart warms when I see this because I have strong nostalgia feelings. Mm. And it's, again, such an iconic moment.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the moment of the film. Like, everyone knows this point. And if you can...
Line, shot, all of that, you know.
And if you can open up a movie with something memorable and close a movie with something memorable, then you've at least done, like, most of the job, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what keeps this movie timeless, that it ends on a sweet note.
Mm.
It has some funny beats. Yes, there are problematic things.
Yeah.
But I generally believe if you took out those things, you would have a near-perfect movie, if that makes
sense. Yeah, I think if you took out those sort of things, you could have more like a kind of sweet movie, like, you know, To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Like, it would be, be more that kind of film if they'd actually just not thrown in party stuff, the awful Jake stuff, if he'd been a bit more like, you know, Peter Kavinsky, that sort of thing. Like, it should have been that sort of movie. But I think because it was his first one, he had all these National Lampoon ideas still, like, going around. So it was kind of, And I mean, later he got there, like, Pretty in Pink has a much better tone because it actually stays with Molly Ringwald's character the whole time. And it's sort of definitely about her. It's not kind of going off to, like, other weird plots, but
All right, those are our candles. You know, I'm satisfied with that. The candles on the cake may be lit, but before we blow them out, I got some more questions for you, Shawnee, to keep the party going, if you will. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a little fun. I pulled up two BuzzFeed quizzes that are kind of related to 16 candles, and, you know, we're going to see what answers you get.
Cool.
So are you ready to play?
Yep.
The first one is, which John Hughes classic are you? Question one, pick a high school class. Music, computer science, home economics, auto shop, probably detention, gym, AP physics, civics, or LOL, like I went to class.
Maybe I'll pick the first one, music.
Music.
I'm not very musical, but that sounds more like...
Okay, pick an item of clothing. They have a bra, a denim jacket... A fedora, a hockey jersey that says USA on the front. A kind of like, you know, those like Norwegian knit sweaters with a reindeer on them. A gray scarf, fingerless leather gloves, pink underwear, or sunglasses.
I think I might pick the scarf. Like a good scarf.
There you go. Okay, pick a beverage. Pepsi, ice water, ruby red grapefruit juice, beer, orange juice, Coca-Cola, Jello shots, martini, or a Manhattan?
Orange juice.
Orange juice it is. Where are you on a Friday night? Trolling message boards. Wherever the wind takes me. Sleeping, I have to get up early. Working. Watching Netflix with my boo. Reading comics. Moping in my room. Drinking and bowling. Or watching a band you've never heard of.
I'm probably watching Netflix.
There we go. Pick a ride at Disneyland. Autotopia, Alice in Wonderland, Space Mountain, The Matterhorn, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Peter Pan's Flight, The Haunted Mansion, The Mad Tea Party, or It's a Small World?
I think Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion. What are you most proud of? Your 401k, ingenuity, your family, your car, your style, your sense of humor, your video game collection, your music collection, or your reputation?
Maybe my family.
There we go. Don't worry, there's not too much more. Your crush just walked in.
Oh my god!
What do you do? Say something funny, try not to stare, make eye contact, play it cool, go talk to them, politely wave, run and hide, say something inappropriate, or I don't have time for this, is the last answer.
Probably run away.
Run and hide. Yeah. What career would you like to have? A startup CEO, a fashion designer, a record label owner, an engineer, sports radio talk show host, something in sales, or career, quote unquote, is too defining for me, or stop pressuring me.
I might go with fashion designer.
Fashion designer, okay. Last question. Which classic Motown song do you want to dance to? Nowhere to Run, Standing in the Shadows of Love, This Old Heart of Mine, Superstition, Dancing in the Street, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, My Guy, Brick House, or Shotgun?
What was the third one?
This Old Heart of Mine.
I'll have that one.
Guess what?
What?
So poetic. Mm. You got 16 candles.
No.
You are still figuring yourself out, but that's okay since you have the support of your friends and family, even if it doesn't always feel that way all the time. Yes, they may embarrass you every now and then, but what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? Mm. By the way, I got weird science when I did it, so.
Mm.
Okay, one more quiz. This one should be easier. It's called, everyone has a Molly Ringwald character who matches their personality. Mm-hmm. Here's yours.
Okay.
Okay. Choose a John Hughes film. Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller, 16 Candles, Some Kind of Wonderful, or Home Alone?
I'm Pretty in Pink.
What's your dream job? So similar question.
Mm-hmm.
Fashion designer, actor, singer, lawyer, detective, or writer?
I might pick writer out of that one.
Choose a character from The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. Claire, John, Allison, Brian, Carl, or Andy?
I might pick Allison.
There we go. I love Ally Sheedy.
Yeah.
That's who I would pick. What's your favorite color? Blue, green, orange, purple, pink, or red?
Purple.
Choose your character from Riverdale. Okay. Jughead, Josie, Veronica, Betty, Archie, or Cheryl?
Probably Betty. I don't know. I'm hoping this is the comic, not the awful show. But...
No, it's the show. It's the show, sorry.
Okay, I'll pick Betty anyway. Yeah, whatever.
Choose a 90s accessory. Ooh. Butterfly clip, choker, stick-on earrings, scrunchies, bobble hair ties, or mood ring?
I'm going to go with butterfly clips because I wore a ton of them at the time.
Pick another member of the Brat Pack. Andrew McCarthy, Ally Sheedy, Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall, Demi Moore, or Rob Lowe?
I might pick Ally Sheedy again. Just, you know.
I'd pick Andrew McCarthy, but... Oh! You got Andy from Pretty in Pink.
There we go.
So you like that movie, so there you go. Like,
that's me.
Well, I love those BuzzFeed quizzes. I love springing them on people because they're just so silly. They're just so silly.
Yeah.
Like, what is the algorithm? Who the hell
Yeah,
knows?
I don't know.
Okay, so now some other questions, some important questions, because there are real awards that we have to ask every week. Wooderson Award. What character would you have liked to see more of in this film?
I think I already talked about that, but I think Joan Cusack could have popped up more. Maybe had some lines.
Absolutely.
You know?
I honestly think we answered almost all these questions in the episode, but let's do it as a recap. Joan Cusack, couldn't agree more. I could do more with her brother and, whatever his friend
Cliff,
is, you know.
Mm.
Cliff, yeah. I could do more of those two. Okay, next award. Well, we'll save the next award for last because it's obvious. But okay, next award I'll say is the Cameron Fry Award.
Yeah.
Too old to be a high schooler. Who in here looked too old to be in high school?
Well, there's a few. Long Duk Dong, probably Jake Ryan looked a bit old. But Jake Ryan,
absolutely.
Friend, that scene.
Oh my God.
Talking to his friend about Sam. That guy looks about, I don't know, late 30s at least. Like, I don't know how many times he failed high school, but what is he doing there?
That is not a high schooler. It is so distracting. That was my pick. This guy is like, he's huge, and I get it. He's like, you know, a meathead jock. Yeah. But he does not look like a high schooler at all.
He could be like, and it's funny. Like, you know.
And he's telling Jake, like, oh, you don't date her. She's like a kid. She's like a baby.
Okay.
But you know what? Yeah. He's right, because Jake Ryan's 30-something, too.
Yeah. Yeah, those two are white. But that guy especially, it's like, what are you doing? Who are you? Go get a job.
Yeah, like, you know. But even, like I said, Long Duk Dong's the girl he goes out with, like, right? Like, some of these people are so old the way they're casted that I get them confused whether they're a teacher or a student, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, there's a lot in this film, but they're too old.
Okay, probably the easiest award I've ever given out, Long Duk Dong Award. Whose character's omission would make this film better?
Well, Long Duk Dong.
Anyone else, though, fit the bill for you?
Maybe like everyone at the party. But I mean, we had to have a party scene, but we didn't. But probably just Long Duk Dong.
Yeah, no one more than
him. Yeah. He wins his own award.
Yeah, that's why it's named after him. Okay, Rotten Tomatoes gives this film 85% by the critics and 85% by the audience. Hmm. But on a scale of A plus to F, what will you grade 16 Candles?
I mean, I think when I first saw it, I probably would have given it an A. I feel like it's probably B minus. Getting maybe not a C, but it's low B minus, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I gave this movie a B, B plus. It has a lot of things that are very important to the genre.
Yes, definitely.
But you're absolutely right. Like, without some of the stuff we discussed, and on my first watch and my early watches, this was an A. This was the teen film that all of the teen films had to measure themselves by. And that's totally changed. I still like watching it. I still plan to watch it every year I do this podcast. But maybe it's so fun to talk about now because there's so many things that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is in here. But there's also so many moments of heart and tenderness, and it does capture what it's like to be an awkward teen, that's for
sure. Yeah, it definitely does.
Okay, 16 Candles sleeping bag. What does it look
like? Something like birthday themed. Maybe something sort of like glittery. I don't know. Maybe like silver glitter on the outside. Seems birthday-ish to me, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I would do like something that looks like Jake Ryan's. Not the car that... Not the dad's car, but his car, his like red sports car. Mm-hmm. I would do something in that color. Again, I don't want to salute Jake Ryan, but I always recognize his cars here. Mm. Like, you know, they're like really like 80s cool guy cars. Okay, random recommendation. If you and I are having a slumber party and one of the movies we're watching is 16 Candles, we have our classic video store, rent two movies, get one free deal. Mm-hmm. What two other films... Or should we rent for our slumber party today?
Well, you know, just going to go obvious. I feel like it should be Pretty in Pink and probably The Breakfast Club. I think that's a good triple bill.
John Hughes marathon. Yep. We get to compare the work, especially the early work here. So, yeah, I love it. Yep. Well, Shoni, this was a blast. Thank you for celebrating high school slumber party's birthday with me.
Happy birthday.
We could finally blow out, I guess, the two candles because it's only the second... birthday. I hope we don't get to 16 years because then I'll be doing this a very long time and it might be a little awkward at that point. But yeah, thank you for celebrating this birthday.
Oh, thank you for inviting me to the party. Good one.
And guess what? I made a wish and it already came true because we had a very fun episode talking about 16 candles.
Yay!
Big thank you to Shawnee for celebrating our birthday with us. That was awesome. Loved her take on 16 Candles. Really can't get enough of 16 Candles, for better or worse. And if you can't get enough of 16 Candles, just a reminder, I mentioned it before, but we had not one, but two episodes last year on this film for our birthday. And if you still can't get enough of 16 Candles, well, wait 1 year, because we're going to do it again for our birthday next year. And of course, you could find all episodes of High School Slumber Party in our archive at cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. But if you don't want to wait till next year for more High School Slumber Party episodes, don't worry. We're twice a week these days. And our next episode will be next Friday with none other than the Foodie Films man himself, my partner in crime, Kyle Reinfried. He'll be here, and we're talking a newer movie, Big Time Adolescence.
This is dope.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sort of just looks like a bunch of scribbles and dicks.
When you get older, you realize that's kind of all life is. It's just a bunch of scribbles and dicks and violence all in a void.
Zeke was my sister's ex-boyfriend. He was the man.
You gotta jerk off before you go fuck a girl. I jerked off before I picked you up. So I would be prepared. I don't know where the fuck we're going tonight.
And he made me feel like the man.
Fuck yeah, Mo. Got a home run.
Hey, who's gonna drink it?
Hold on, what's in that?
Whiskey, beer, cough syrup, and Zanny Bar.
Oh, damn. Oh.
That's my dude.
You meet some punk, and you have no idea at the time that he's going to be parked in front of your house every day for the rest of your goddamn life.
You're in high school.
You should be making friends your own age.
I like hanging out with you.
This weekend, Paul's house.
It's so on.
You just sell my pot at your party.
You think I'm just going to walk into a party and everyone's going to want to buy pot for me?
Call me crazy.
Who's ready to party?
You're acting real silly right now, all right? That chick is like 16 years old.
Nick, I'm 16.
Exactly. What?
Kids are supposed to make mistakes. That's what the whole point of being a kid is.
Yo, I think it's time.
What the? You permanently inked Tongue Daddy to your skin. What does that even mean?
Oh my God. My life, big man, tell me no right to hide.
And you can find Big Time Adolescence on Hulu. It stars Pete Davidson, who just had another film come out, I think last week or this week. But this one, I already watched it. It was really fun, and I can't wait for you to hear our chat about it, because it's equally as fun. We'll put it that way. Anytime Kyle's on, we have a blast. Thank you, Slumberers, once again for everything you've brought to my life to make me feel like I'm not just shouting into the void. I really, really appreciate you. I can't honestly express that enough. And I hope you'll join us this Friday. I hope you'll join us next Monday. I hope you join us for every episode of High School Slumber Party. Oh, and I hope you join us this Thursday for our awesome watch party together on Zoom. Stay posted for social media about that. So let's leave you with another song from the 16 Candles soundtrack. And I'm so embarrassed, this is not even one I mentioned in this episode when I was talking about the soundtrack. And it happens to be one of my favorites. That's the Spandau Ballet's True. Remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop to look around once in a while, you might miss it. Later, dudes!
true. Funny how it seems, always in time, but never in line for dreams. Head over heels, went toe to toe. This is the sound of my soul. This is the sound.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.